I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
I want to tell you I love your way, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. Aston Villa crash out of Europe and Arsenal are off to Old Trafford this weekend. It's Friday, 10th of May. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Eddie Brassel.
Oi, 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 it's Friday. It's a warm Friday in the kingdom. What a glorious thing. And we start with a bit of Big Mountain, Luke Moore.
Great tune.
Yeah?
I thought you were going to ask me who it was, and I was excited to say it's by Big Mountain.
Yeah.
But you spoiled it for me. So.
Give us a chorus.
No, I'm not going to give you a chorus. Maybe at the end of the show.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, stay listening, everyone. Marcus, get the keys out, and I'll give you a quick line or two.
But he's giving you a hospital pass by saying the Big Mountain version is the definitive version.
I think it's a good version.
Yeah. Is the definitive version?
Well, it's not their song, is it?
No.
No, in the same way Step On's not Happy Monday song, but it's the definitive version.
Yeah, I suppose.
Okay, right. Apology accepted.
Well, I don't think that's
actually... I'd like to, just make it clear to the listeners that I didn't understand most of that either. So. Do stick with us.
Oh dear. Well, before we get on to the football, a reminder that the latest episode of Lions Watch with Luke and I came out yesterday. We debated who should start in England's midfield with Rice and Bellingham, whether Marcus Rashford should even go to the tournament, and we ripped into Michael Owen a little bit. Do listen to Lions Watch straight after this for all your England needs, and remember to hit subscribe so that you never miss an episode from us.
Do you want like an alternative plug from me about what the show's all about on Lions Watch yesterday? Me suggesting players that should be in the squad and Marcus angrily shouting at me, who are they replacing? Who are they replacing? Who are they replacing? For about 40 minutes, and then we drag off Michael Owen at the end. Great. What's not to like?
I also sad state of affairs these days that I keep having to defend Jack Grealish from you.
You do, but you've also come to the conclusion that it may not, after all, everyone, be good to have a Marcus in there.
Well... Mm. Yeah,
whether it's your Mount or your Rashfords.
Yeah, I know. But that's, if it was a 27-man squad, I'd like to think that I would be considered, even in this body.
Like probably 14,027.
I could do a Beckham role like he did in 2010.
Yeah, was that because you got quite thick?
Yes. And no, we're just sitting on a bench with a manager wearing a...
But I think anyone could do that.
No, they couldn't.
Not everyone looks that good in Burton. Come on.
That's true. Burton's not still going anyway.
Well, let's get it back for the sake of the nation.
So to help England win the Euros in the summer, you're going to bring... Not only are you going to perform a David Beckham role where you sit on the bench in a suit, you're going to bring back the menswear brand Burton.
If you want.
Is Gareth Southgate going to explain this to the squad, or are you just going to turn up?
He's going to be handing me custard creams.
this time next week, welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, brought to you by Burton.
And custard creams.
There's nothing wrong with a custard cream, Jim. Absolutely Marcus, not. Back me up on that.
There will always be in England, is all I'm saying. Right, let's get away from this island for a moment and go abroad to sunnier climes, even though it is delightful today. Olympiacos 2, Aston Villa 0, 6-2 on AG. Olympiacos reached their first ever European final. Comprehensive, Andy Bressel.
Yeah, it was. And,
nice story for them to reach their first ever final. Mm.
And I'm sure AEK fans are absolutely delighted to have a load of Olympiacos fans going to their stadium for a European final.
This is such a lovely old job for Olympiacos.
That is going to be the hottest ticket in the history of sport, isn't it?
It's going to be amazing. We should do it up Mount Olympus. Go late.
Are they just going to tear it up and set fire to it?
Well, the ones that get in, I suppose.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah.
If they win, lose, or draw, which you can't draw a final, they'll do that.
They'll mostly just whistle at it, won't they?
They do like a whistle.
Yeah.
They do like a whistle. Do you know what, though? This tournament really is, I think, what UEFA perhaps wanted it to be, because you get teams like Olympiacos, and even West Ham as well, that obviously won it, that really do take it seriously.
Yeah. We can get really sort of locked into how, like, football is about, you know, finishing in the top four because it's, you know, good for the money and the five-year plan of our club. And even as supporters, we get, like, pulled into that now. But it's really about, like, nights like this, where you can win a trophy, you know, where you're beating a big team. It's glorious, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's absolutely fantastic. But if we're looking at it from the other boring angle as well, the fact that, you know, Greece have fallen into that sort of netherworld in this sort of Champions
League. Which is very Greek, isn't it?
Very Greek.
Exactly.
Traditionally Greek.
Where it's super difficult to qualify for the Champions League and all that sort of stuff. If you're getting the coefficient points from winning in the Conference League, it really helps, because Pauk got to the quarterfinals as well. But it's funny, because I think you look at this, and Villa, I felt, as I said last week, the occasion was too much for them at Villa Park. Yeah. Was here, they just looked a little bit out of gas. Yeah. There wasn't any sort of inspiration. It needed a big effort, but they didn't really create anything.
But that's my point about this trophy, though, Jim, is that Villa have got an eye on fourth spot.
Yeah.
And it's an enormous eye on fourth spot. It's a swollen eye on fourth spot.
It's a massive, massive...
It's like the eye
Lord
of Saruman.
The style
yeah.
eye.
Yeah, out of Sauron.
But as we mentioned fairly recently on the show, Villa will be absolutely gutted here, because they're probably going to get into the Champions League, and that'll be brilliant. The chances of them going on to win the Champions League, I think all Villa fans would agree, are going to be quite slim.
Yeah.
They will have had an eye on winning this.
You won't get any
tweets having that night. No. and it's a real, real shame they've gone out. But I think they were perhaps undone by the fact that Olympiacos essentially executed the perfect European away performance at home. Which sort of gave Villa nowhere to go.
The damage was done in the first leg for Villa.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, all the things it might be, as someone's just mentioned there, that they might be running out of gas. It's a long season. The players play a lot of football these days. Obviously, there's been a little bit of press about that over the last day or two around, you know, player representatives not being very happy with that. All the stuff we know already. But around this part of the season, you can understand it. Yeah, it gets tiring. But all the stuff that they've been good at when they've been good this season, Villa, they weren't good at in the first leg.
Yeah.
And then you're right about the Olympiacos performance last night, but it's pretty difficult to know how to approach that second leg when you've had such a disaster at home in the first, because to win 2-0, and I know Olympiacos have had their trials and tribulations this year. They've had about five head coaches and they're, whatever, third or fourth in the league.
Yeah, three less than normal, yeah.
Yeah, right, but going there... It's always, I mean, the atmosphere always feels, whenever I see it, amazing. So it's just a big ask for them to do it. And then when you want to go and win 2-0 away, and you have to win 2-0 away to stay in a cup competition, you have to take risks. You take risks, you normally get punished.
Which the high line was undone again, wasn't it, as it was in the first.
And when their line's been good, it's been so good, yeah.
Mm. What do you think Emery thought to himself, okay, this tour, it's not like the Europa League, is it? This is maybe beyond him, Andy.
He hasn't got the answer.
A question for you, though. Which Premier League side is going to sign El Cabi?
He scored like five goals across two legs.
Yeah.
Someone's going to pick him up.
Someone who's getting promoted.
He's had a wonderful time against Aston Villa, you have to say. And as you said earlier, Jim, Olympiacos will play Fiorentina, who have another crack at the final of this competition. Elsewhere in Europe last night, Bayer Leverkusen drew on the night with Roma, went through again. They love it. They absolutely bloody love it, Bayer Leverkusen. It's ridiculous. They were 2-0 down, of course, going into the last 10 minutes, and you think, Roma, that's not enough.
It's like it looks like witchcraft at this point.
Oh, they're not
it's ridiculous.
They're not football matches. These are like sequels in the Halloween franchise. they're basically Mike Myers. They're never dead.
Yeah, yeah.
You can plant your axe in their head and chuck at the bottom of a lake all you want.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll be back next week. Yeah, don't worry about that.
They'll be back at the end of the scene for crying out loud.
They will. I mean,
it's absolutely extraordinary. Because Leverkusen obviously scored in the 82nd minute. Or really, it was. They didn't score. It was a massive, massive calamitous own goal from Roma. Yeah. But a bit like Real Madrid with the Neuer mistake, that they find a way.
You were thinking, like, don't give them a hand.
No.
Don't help them.
It was funny, actually. I don't think you can pay the Roma goalkeeper, Miles Svilar, a higher compliment than he had a total Neuer of a game. And that he was absolutely brilliant. Well, Neuer this week. Because he was brilliant for most of it. And then he made a ricket of the goal that let Leverkusen
It's such a shocking own goal. And the way it cannons off for Mancini as well.
Leverkusen were battering them all game, though. So it's,
They were, but the fact is Roma
That's
were
why
in the
Roma
position.
Did so well to hang on, though, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, indeed. And then, of course, in the 97th minute, they equalised to extend their unbeaten record this season. 49 games now, which is a new European record, everybody. The record was set by Eusebio and Benfica between 1963, December 63 and February 1965. That's how long it's been, and that was the longest unbeaten run since the advent of European competition, according to UEFA. And if those who think they're being a little bit, invincibles about this, of those 49 games, 40 of them have been victories.
It's incredible.
It is absolutely incredible, because when they get that own goal, they celebrate, oh, we've finally done it. You think, right, they're through, and you think, is that enough of them? No, it bloody isn't. No. Because in the 97th minute, they have to find that equaliser to make sure that they don't get beaten.
But I don't know, a lot of people have made this about, well, they're just insatiable and they go for it and all the rest of it. I think this is slightly different, because the way they played it after scoring that goal, or having that goal scored for them, is keep the ball, and Roma had to try and go for it.
Yeah.
So, that's slightly different.
But I think there's an amazing compliment to pay to them, which is that the Europa League would be a big trophy for Leverkusen, right?
Yes.
And when did they officially become champions of the Bundesliga?
About 3 weeks ago.
Right. Yet they still don't lose in the Bundesliga.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not prioritising the Europa League by saying we're going to rest a load of players. And
they've got the German Cup final to come.
Exactly.
As well.
Like, what you see happen all the time. I joked about it a few weeks ago when Portsmouth won League One. They're never going to beat Wigan. They've been on the piss for 3 days. Do you know what I mean? The intensity is the intensity for a period of time. And once there's a natural release because you've lifted the trophy.
I have to tell you at this point, there is not a Yates's Wine Lodge in Leverkusen.
Mm. Well, that's an oversight on their behalf.
Yeah. Yeah.
They need to
that does help,
that.
To be fair.
It will help.
They don't have the temptation.
What you're saying is the Pompey players were basically saying as their defence, someone put a Yates's Wine Lodge there. What do you expect us to do?
We're not going
to
walk past it.
Yeah.
But I mean, by a forever Kuzan Andy.
It is
stunning stuff. It really is from them. And whatever
happens now, the season's been ridiculous.
Oh my goodness, they have that league win.
It does feel like they have to get this.
They have to.
It feels like they have to win an unbeaten treble.
I know what you mean. But what I think the beautiful thing was when they were celebrating that equaliser last night is when Real Madrid obviously get those two late goals against Bayern, Vish and I talked about that in Ramble Reacts. For me personally, there was, and I'm sure for a number of other people, you have mixed emotions because I wasn't gutted for Kane, but despite that, you're thinking you can't deny Hosseluu's moment.
Yeah,
that was magnificent for him. What a story!
This man, the words of Alan Partridge. Some of these people have come from Stoke.
Yeah, exactly.
To be here tonight,
exactly. And the scenes of celebration again, like it's phenomenal. It is absolutely phenomenal. But it's those bastards again. It's all that. Yeah. Whereas with Bayer Leverkusen, you've got none of that. You can just enjoy it.
Yeah. If they played each other, it would just go on forever.
There'd be
late equalisers, then it go to added time. More equalisers, penalties, sudden death. They both keep scoring, and it would just go on forever.
Yeah. What you're saying is, if Leverkusen beat Fiorentina, which we suspect they will, then it's all about the Super Cup.
It will be.
Sure, yeah,
that,
of course.
But then Dortmund,
not Fiorentina, Atalanta.
Yeah, do you know what? I've just written off Dortmund there, Andy. So sorry about that, Dortmund fans.
Yeah, don't do that.
Imagine that, an all-German affair for the Super Cup.
I can imagine that, Mark, because it's quite easy for me to imagine that.
Yeah.
It's quite possible to happen. Yeah.
Okay, what's your prediction for it then?
But the way you said it, it's like, imagine, I don't know.
Well, the point is,
with wings came in and stole the ball. That's a bit more difficult to imagine than just a game happening, isn't it?
I've never seen that film. Which name escaped?
Oh, the one we watched over lockdown.
Soccer Dog.
No, the one with the
Soccer
surrealist
with wings.
Shit happening.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Portuguese one.
Diamantino.
Diamantino. There we go. Jim's got the recall.
Looking forward to Jack's encyclopedia later.
I'm not.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, let's go back to this season. So glorious for Leverkusen. Shame for Aston Villa, though. No final for them. Champions League on the cards, though, surely. I mean, yeah. They play Liverpool in this round of fixtures, but they do just need 3 points from the last two games to secure full spot, which you'd think they would get. And Spurs obviously have to play Manchester City.
Assuming that Spurs actually start doing stuff, they've lost their last four games in a row. So, I mean, you know, you might not need any more points.
Maybe Villa can go on holiday now.
Yeah.
Maybe they can, Andy.
Yeah. Start flying kites at training, maybe.
Yes, exactly. Well, one side who are on the march for a European place, Newcastle United, obviously in sixth, just 4 points behind Tottenham Hotspur. They host Brighton on Saturday at 3 p.m. Kieran Trippier could make his long-awaited return after 2 months out injured, which would be a boost to England, it would be a boost to Newcastle, and a boost for all of us, Andy, because we love the man.
And not for those of us that like to see Emil Kraft start every single game.
You've always got an alternative opinion, haven't you?
Well, it's just remarkable, isn't it, when you think of it like that. And going into this game and the lineups that Newcastle have had going into recent games, what they've done to turn this season around, when you look at where they were, say, even a month and a half ago, it was difficult to imagine them. It was easy to see the season petering out after they went out of the cup to Manchester City, for example. Whereas now, with really still quite a ragtag team with bits of great talent in it, and obviously they've spent a lot of money, but there are a lot of players there who are still very much Ashley era players. And it's remarkable that they're where they are. They're in this position. Well, you would expect them now to finish ahead of Manchester United, wouldn't you, for example.
I think Howe deserves a lot of credit for re-galvanising them, because I think sort of adjusting your expectations during a season must feel a bit like running up a down escalator. But he's managed to sort of get them looking like the freshest team in the league at the moment. And obviously they...
But at one point they did not look like that.
No, absolutely. But it's very easy for that to become terminal, right? And for that to slip and for the season to just become a really underwhelming disaster that peters out. But he's managed to stop that from happening. And they're probably going to finish in a European place now. Obviously, like, if you qualify for the Champions League, you want to then qualify for the Champions League the next season. When it becomes clear that's not going to happen, you've got a real task on your hands to keep motivated and make qualifying for the Europa League a sort of an acceptable win. And they've managed that really well.
Like Spurs, I say, I think they will catch Spurs. And Spurs have, they've got their Sheffield United voucher.
They do.
And, yeah. And they've got...
But playing too late, though, aren't
Burnley,
they?
Haven't they?
Yeah, they've got Burnley. I wouldn't be surprised if Newcastle catch them. I really wouldn't. I know they're 4 points, and you know, but the way Newcastle have finished the season is very, very strong indeed. Although Brighton do present a challenge. I mean, before last week, Brighton hadn't won in six league games and had only scored one goal in the whole of April, which was an own goal by Burnley's keeper. If you remember, he miscontrolled the ball into the net. So, yeah, Brighton looked like pretty easy pickings, actually. But they did beat Villa last weekend. So, back on the wagon, although...
Very close to the beach, though. Dangerously close to the beach.
A stone's throw from the beach.
There was a lot of stones on their beach, exactly. Of course. I mean, is it? Do you think, though, maybe the shingle beach quite... literally and metaphorically keeps them on their toes.
Might do, yeah, it might do. It's not as much of a desire to get on
true.
There.
Yeah.
It's like Bournemouth, very dangerous.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
Like, as I said to you before, Bournemouth is the ITV version of Brighton, right? But Bournemouth has got a sandy beach.
But it's got a better beach for warmer climbs.
And I think this time of the season, it's very difficult to predict what's going to happen because Brighton are essentially in this, in a similar way to like Fulham and Wolves, and Bournemouth, where they're almost in this kind of hinterland where they're all absolutely delighted to be safe in the Premier League in like May.
Yeah.
And so you don't really know...
Yeah, before that. Yeah,
before that, what the motivation is. But I was just going to pick up on the Newcastle thing where, you know, Newcastle, I think, got 71 points last season and finished fourth. Mm. They had no European football last season, right? What's come along this season has been a lot of learning points, a lot of intense football. They've played Dortmund, Milan, PSG in Europe at a crucial part of the season, which then contributed to giving them a lot of injuries. They finished the season strongly. They could finish on 65 points. I mean, 6 points worse than last season, actually. It's not that bad. Given
it's
the narrative,
more than not bad. It's amazing.
Given
really.
The narrative that surrounded them. I actually thought earlier this season, as I said to you guys, and Andy, as ever, poo-pooed me and then was proven absolutely right.
He does like a poo-poo.
Yeah, I thought Howe might find himself a bit under pressure if he didn't turn it around. To his credit, he has turned it around. I think it's more than decent what they've achieved, and I think that there's a really good chance they could beat Brighton, because Brighton, although they, as you said, picked up a win last time around, they've been in really, really poor form.
They did play really well in that against a good team as well. Brighton. I mean, that was the best Brighton performance for like probably since they went out of the Europa League. Actually,
What do you think of this summer for Brighton. Obviously, they'd be keen to keep De Zerbi, but he's often been linked with other clubs. And
it feels to me a bit like, not as bad as this, but it feels a bit like, do you remember Marco Silva and his head turned when he was at Watford? And it just went to
Everton.
Went to shit, didn't it? Yeah. It's been a bit like that. I think De Zerbi's, it feels to me like De Zerbi's agent might have been on massive manoeuvres.
Don't you think you have to factor in the European fatigue?
Yeah, partly.
I mean, that's a huge part of it. I think the problem for De Zerbi, if it is a problem, because, of course, if he doesn't get a big job, he just stays at Brighton and continues to have a pretty good time.
I mean, there was talk of Liverpool, Andy.
Yeah, there was. But I tend to think that he's probably the second or third choice for quite a lot of big jobs.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And so I think that's why we don't know anything about it now. And maybe we won't know anything about it in 3 weeks. But if there is any club that is set to cope with losing a big coach, it's them, isn't it?
Yeah.
They seem to have handled it before.
That is a fair point. But here's a stat for you. Roberto De Zerbi and Sean Dyche have won the same amount of Premier League games this season.
Wow.
Don't see Sean Dyche being linked with the big jobs, do you?
No. If he was called Dyche-o, he would be.
Shame he wasn't.
You can't say anything these days, you guys.
But we will.
now, Karen doing what we want, like we always do.
Earlier in this podcast, we were praising Hosolu, of course, the former Newcastle United man.
I did loads of lyrics on the WhatsApp group over the week.
Yeah.
Exchanging Hosolu for Waterloo by ABBA. No one liked it.
Is that
no
what it was?
No one.
Yeah. I'm not going to write.
Fuck's sake.
Jim and I don't like ABBA.
My stuff's
wasted.
Do you
know why? Because we're cool.
Yeah, that's true.
You should have put musical note emojis around it so then we'd have understood.
Mm-hmm. I'll do that next time. Yeah.
Hosolu sunset. I'd have got that.
No, it's rubbish compared to what I was doing.
No, it wasn't.
All right.
Was it, Jim?
Can we move on?
but Hosolu, though, obviously former Newcastle United man, apparently played for Stoke City. Something we all became aware of in the last few
days.
Shock. a former Stoke City man has been causing some lols on X, formerly known as Twitter, this week. Did you see that Saido Berahino was doing a sort of Q&A?
Do his proper name.
Saido! As Tony Pulis used to bellow from the Saido lines. So he didn't ask me anything on Twitter. And one person said, why were you so shit at Stoke? Which is a bit rude.
Yeah,
quite frankly.
Yeah.
But Saido gracefully responded with, was a shit place to work, to be honest.
He actually said, was a shit place to work, honestly. But there's a tiredness in the honestly there, isn't there?
Yeah.
I've had to say this, how difficult it was.
I've had to say this over and over again, is what it seems to me. Anyway, Hosolu, couldn't save that if I wanted to. Hosolu, would love to be in the Champions League final with you. Hosolu, can't stay onside if you wanted to. Hosolu, VAR has decided the goal for you. That's what I did. Andy Brassel gave it a laughing emoji. Everyone else ignored it.
In real time, to be fair to you as well.
Want to make that absolutely clear.
And he'll walk off into the Hosolu sunset.
Yeah, keep ploughing that furrow.
Well, it's better. It's a better song, better band. And
I think we could agree on that. Yeah.
Right, and they're English. Okay.
You know, I reckon there are some Leicester City players listening to this at the moment going, now the rest of the world knows what it's like to share a dressing room with Jamie Vardy.
Yeah.
Being repeatedly hammered over the head with a joke.
Speller's definitely the Vardy the ramble.
Jim, you're the Vardy correspondent. No, that's not true, is it?
Yeah, you are an agent of chaos when you want to be. Yeah. And you don't see it coming. That probably seals it for you.
And you love Red Bull.
I was surprised as anyone.
I think Jamie Vardy spends most of his days permanently surprised.
But laughing, though.
Yeah.
Now, how about this, everybody? How about this? It was announced on Friday that Nobby Solano is back in business. He's the new boss of Blyth Spartans. He's managed three clubs in Peru. He's had a brief spell in Canada. He was assistant coach for the national team when they made it to the World Cup. Jim Campbell, this is lovely stuff.
It's a well-trodden path, isn't it? I think we're all expecting it.
Yeah, he's doing the usual.
Yeah, it's just fantastic to have him back in the area, I'd imagine. He had a restaurant for a bit, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
So hopefully he'll be opening that up again.
I know, I was sad to find out.
Getting the brass out.
Sad to find out that restaurant had closed. And I found out, of course, when I asked the receptionist at our hotel.
Yeah.
So there's Nobby Solano's restaurant around here. And he's like, oh, I
Yeah.
I haven't heard that.
He responded in
he's
a way.
He's like Obi-Wan Kenobi. Ooh, now that's a, that's a restaurant I haven't heard.
Nobby Solano's restaurant.
Time,
ain't been a Nobby Solano restaurant around here for about 30 years.
Oh, dear. Nick Hewer, everyone.
It's always Nick Hewer.
Yeah, always, always. Andy, you're up in that neck of the woods. That's your constituency. What do you reckon? Yeah.
Come for the weekend. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
But come before October, because I don't reckon it's going to last that long.
October,
is it?
You're giving him.
Yeah.
All right.
I particularly like that when they obviously got him confirmed and they had the scarf around his neck and they got him to hold the Blythe Spartan shirt, which, by the way, Blythe Spartan's got an amazing
great shirt.
Logo
oh, come on.
And crest.
Come on.
Yes, it's incredible.
He just appears to be standing in the corner of a room of a travel lodge as a bloke who's just visiting.
Yeah. Does he know what he signed up to?
I don't know. I don't know.
The next time we mention this will be when he leaves.
Yeah, like Pascal Chimponte.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What,
yeah.
One of the best hot dogs in North East football, I would suggest.
It's a stiff competition.
In North, one of the best hot dogs in North East.
You did
East
ruin
football.
It when you said. I understand there's a fair few clubs up there, but yeah. I was a bit like, God, blimey.
Andy, when you talked about Dortmund on OTC recently, you didn't mention a single mention of their 20-foot long pick and mix either. You're slipping.
Foot long.
It's the biggest pick and mix I've ever seen. Speaking of like food, like
and you've seen the Kingdom of Sweets.
I'd never go in there.
Yeah, but you've seen it.
I've seen it. Yeah, it's bigger than that, isn't it?
In my mind, initially, that was like a sort of trough rather than the thing.
But
that
it does
you
look a bit
from.
Like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
It's
yeah.
amazing. Oh, it's very, very unhygienic. But that absolutely clear.
Yeah.
In a post-COVID world,
very bad for you as well.
Yeah.
Right, everybody, coming up in the second half: Manchester United versus Arsenal. Fulham standing in Man City's way for the title, and some Championship playoff chats, and Will Ferrell as well. See you in a moment.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stressors can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Okay, just a final question then, and I suspect you'll say this isn't within your job remit either, but should Bukayo Saka be nailed on in Gareth Southgate's starting 11 at the World Cup?
Oh, I would hope so. It's not within my remit, but if it was within my remit, absolutely yes.
Who are you playing with him up front then?
Oh, for England, I don't know who we'd put up front with him.
Say Harry Kane, Kia.
Well, I mean...
Just say Kane.
Kane is an obvious kind of starting point.
Well, I'm just
thinking,
no, Kane and Saka, I mean, they do... Just trying to think of formulation. They're probably Kane and Saka does work best, yeah.
Keir Starmer there. I mean, he's just so Arsenal through and through. He can't bear to name an ex-Spurs man, even, Jim.
It must be that.
Yeah, you would
probably Eddie Nketiah, he should have said. Yeah.
I feel like we should definitely get a clip of somebody asking Rishi Sunak that.
Yeah.
Is this football?
He'd just get annoyed. He'd just be really annoyed.
No. I've been quite clear. I want to talk about my. Yeah.
I want to bomb the boats. Yeah. Is that what you want?
He'd have Harry Kane booting footballs at the boats.
He would.
I mean, you say that. Sunak's in a difficult position because if he says Matt Letizia, which he obviously wants to say, he's ridiculed.
Exactly.
Even in the 90s.
That picture of them together at St Mary's was incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Incredible.
No, it's amazing for me.
Yeah, I bet it was. Yeah.
That's just the kind of people that live there.
Right, everybody. We're going to move on to Manchester United versus Arsenal Sunday. 4:30, big game in the title race. Could Arsenal put the final nail in the coffin for Erik ten Hag, or is he already buried?
I suspect he is already buried, whatever happens here. It's not been a happy place for Arsenal, even in recent times when times have been a bit better. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough game, this. Because
a bit Charles Dickens of you, that. In recent times when times have been a bit better.
I think a Charles Dickens first draft.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you can probably tidy that one
just
up later.
Red marker pen, needs work.
I mean, but this was pre-Casemiro centre-half, though.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's talk that Lisandro Martinez might be back.
That would be annoying.
That would be very, very annoying, yeah. But yeah, obviously Arsenal will go into this as favourites, but they need to be switched on and make sure that they're very, really, really focused on this, because I suspect that because things have been so bad lately at Man United, that he'll have a bespoke game plan. He'll probably try and frustrate, maybe try and smother Declan Rice is my suspicion.
But they haven't got the discipline to do anything like that.
Sure.
That's the problem.
But, you know, I'm quite fatalistic.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
Man United trying to smother Declan Rice. Well, come on, Jim.
Jim's attitude towards it will be absolutely understandably be informed by... probably a load of horrific experiences at the hands of Manchester United.
Want a bit of nerves as well.
Yeah, and I understand that. But
tell him what's actually going to happen, Luke.
You've got nothing to worry about. Absolutely nothing to worry about.
Mikel Arteta, though, does need to keep his cool and his discipline in the game, because he's on 5 yellow cards, and if he gets one more, he'll have to serve a 1-match suspension, which, like, all joking aside, at this stage of the season, that is just not what you
want. I thought
you
were going to say, if he gets one more, he has to do an interview with Richard Keys. I would just feel like... It's easier said than done, of course, I understand that. But and there is probably, I would say ordinarily, even a Man United team who are below par, who aren't doing an awful lot this season, got a negative goal difference, are capable of turning out stinking performances. If they had absolutely any discipline whatsoever, you'd say, well, there's a chance they'd give Arsenal a bloody nose here. Yeah. It's Old Trafford, it's a traditionally big Premier League fixture. All I'd say to people who perhaps think like that is, just watch their games.
Yeah.
Like, without the ball against a team of quality of Arsenal, it could be a complete shit show. And I was at the Spurs-Arsenal game. Arsenal weren't even that good, right? And they still found themselves freeing them up by being ruthlessly efficient, doing all the basic stuff well.
Well, that's what they need to do again. Just
100%.
Just in case a different type of Man United turns up. I know they've got personnel issues as well, which is another factor going against them. But sometimes these things are galvanising, right?
The thing is, it's fine for you to have the kittens, as we were saying, Jim.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, and totally understandable, as Luke was saying. But yeah, I just do feel that if we look at Arsenal, they're not really carrying any of that emotional baggage anymore.
No, I think the experience of last season has made them a lot more level-headed and mature this time around.
I mean, it's incredible how quickly they've learnt from that, really. It's remarkable. But I would go as far as to say, I think if Arsenal win out from here, I think they'll be champions.
Wow.
I think City at some point, maybe somewhere in London, will drop a couple of points.
Andy, you're speaking my language.
Well, I would just also say that, you know, I've got so many players out. I mean, you're talking about Martinez being back. I was reading this morning that
that might be a stretch.
He's going to have to play Evans and Casemiro back again.
What a game to come back in.
Yeah, I don't know why. By the way, can I just say, I don't know why he doesn't play McTominay at centre back instead of Casemiro.
Well, certainly now after that Palace performance.
Well, because McTominay is he can get around the pitch more. He's much more hard working, and he feels like he's more disciplined.
You think?
Because this version of Casemiro, this version.
But McTominay has got that knee injury. You know, again, there's a number of players.
But it's much easier to play centre back. It's to play centre midfield in that situation.
Indeed, but he has been out injured. You know, there are still. I mean, he's due back at the same time as Martinez, which is Sunday potentially.
I think he's going to start. I think McTominay will start.
Yeah. But McTominay wants to go for a wander. And that's definitely not what you want from a centre back against Arsenal.
No, but
I
get that. But what I'm saying is, I get the impression that if a manager says to McTominay, "Can you please do something?" he might actually do it. If you say that to Casemiro, he won't even listen.
No, I think he's more won't be able to do it.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, to be honest, I personally think I've got no particular beef with any of the top teams. No real dog in the fight. I do like it when a team.
You can say you've got beef with all of them.
Okay, I've got beef with all the teams. Yeah. I like it when one of them gets battered. Like, yeah. I would love it if Arsenal won 6-0 here because it would be funny. The same way I loved it when United beat Arsenal 8-2. It's the same thing.
Where do you think United will finish in the table?
Well, I mean, they're currently in eighth position and I can't... and they won't finish lower than that and I'll tell you why. Because West Ham are in ninth.
Yeah. Right. And they're all 5 points ahead of them. Like, West Ham have only got two games left anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think Chelsea are finishing reasonably well.
Right.
So I think Manchester United, where they are now, I'd be surprised if they were to finish above Chelsea. And they certainly won't catch Newcastle or 6 points above them. Mm. So it's seventh at best, eighth at worst. Mm. Which I don't think they would have taken at the start of the season. now, what do you think of this? Because we're all quite convinced that we'll be waving a tearful goodbye to Erik ten Hag. Well, certainly the non-Manchester United fans will come the summer. Former Manchester United man Giuseppe Rossi, remember him?
Yeah.
He has had this to say about the potential new manager for Manchester United. When I think about potentially having Roy Keane as manager at Old Trafford, that sounds like it could really be great.
What
it would be
something.
Andy, let me finish. It would be something very cool.
We were asked recently on the mailbag, weren't we, who would be what sort of players could Man United sign that would be bad for Man United but great for the Ramblers? We didn't talk about managers, and this would have been the absolute A-star answer.
Jim,
for that.
I think it was so ridiculous, like even we didn't even bother kind of mentioning it, you know.
To me, it smacks of I retired from football a while back now, and I don't really watch it much.
Definitely.
Roy Keane's a name I know well.
Yeah.
And when I imagine him, he's got a Man United shirt on.
I'm still slightly frightened of him, so best give him some credit.
But I as you guys know, I love Roy Keane, and Andy hates him. So, Andy, come on.
Andy doesn't listen, don't worry.
Come on, you're not a big fan of his. You're not a big fan of his work in the studio. Meet me halfway. I've compromised quite a lot there already.
He's trembling.
I admire his presence, and I understand it's good television.
Thank you. Well, that's fine then. But
and I'd leave it there.
All I was actually going to say was, I'm a much bigger fan of Roy Keane than Andy, and not even I think this is anywhere near like a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea for us, though.
It's a great idea for us. Yeah.
So make it happen, Manchester United. Manchester United can be certain of one thing, though. Come the summer, is that
Tom... Sorry, can I just take it back to that? If that was announced at 2 o'clock in the morning, we would all run here immediately. We'd all get like...
Yeah.
Just imagine the day.
I'll promise our listeners now.
Oh, right. Yeah.
If it happens, we'll do a Ramble Reacts.
That's what it's for.
We've got to do that.
I mean, you can promise way more than that.
Okay, what else should I promise?
That we'll
just think of anything, one thing.
Close the show.
Like it just, what's not, the point of that? It's the opposite of what I said.
It won't happen. We'll be nude at the Palladium.
Yeah. We'll open the weekend on a Wednesday.
Yeah, fine.
Jim's interrupted you when you're about to talk about one of your bays. So
sorry,
you,
mate.
Yeah. That's all right. That's all right. One thing we can all be certain of, as I said, is that Tom Heaton is open to staying at the club once his contract expires at the end of the season.
Oi, little third choice keeper for England in the Euros?
I should say so.
I love this. Heaton's seen the news that all but three United players are up for sale and has gone, I need to get in front of this.
This is a sweet gig.
Yeah.
Jim, he's probably one of the three.
Yeah.
wouldn't be surprising, yeah.
It's funny United have been so bad this season, yet he's had no heat on him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, if Pete did that, everyone would think it's fucking hilarious.
I thought it was great.
Thanks, man.
A bit of, what was his name, Glenn Fry?
Yeah, it was a bit of that, yeah.
So he wants to move into a coaching role. And presumably coaching roles will be up for grabs soon.
Presumably his coaching role pitch to Man United will be, I've played no football. Can I please coach?
Yeah.
I'll keep my office tidy.
Yeah.
It's a genuine start, Jim.
Yeah.
now, Luke, you obviously love Roy Keane as a pundit. You also love Wayne Rooney as a pundit. In fact, you just love Wayne Rooney. You can't get enough of the man, and I love that.
I think Wayne Rooney is one of the best people in Britain.
His head is perfectly round and perfectly square. Yeah. It's quite something.
I just love him.
What a weapon it would be as well. Well, it emerged last week that he is a Secret War history geek and is particularly obsessed with the 26-part documentary The World at War, which I love.
I don't know if, why this is surprising to people, because Wayne Rooney is such a normal bloke. He's just a sort of dad approaching middle age now, isn't he? So this is completely consistent
and
with
we
that.
Should all be into history, Jim.
The three reasons I love Wayne Rooney, if anyone's confused about it, right? One is look at him.
Yeah.
Just look at him.
Yeah.
He looks amazing. Secondly, he genuinely, completely anonymously, didn't tell anyone about 2 years after, applied to Nottingham University to study criminology after his court case with the Vardys. Great stuff.
Had a great time.
It's a great kind of scheme that dads just get into. I'll definitely do that. The third thing is, Laurence Olivier narrated The World at War. He's a man of taste. He's an absolute man of taste. That is one of the greatest documentary series ever made.
But I think that some of the things you're saying about Rooney is he's like, comes across actually when you listen to him and so on, there's a bit of culture there.
I love him.
But of course, you know, people don't want to think that.
The top three best war-related documentary series, just very quickly, are...
World War II in Colour's good.
It's not in the top three. Ken Burns is the Civil War.
Yeah.
Ken Burns is the Vietnam War. And Laurence Olivier's The World at War. They are the three. And The World at War one, by the way, is absolutely epically long.
I think each
episode is over an hour.
But you've...
They say a new rocket is arriving.
World War II in Colour should have been in that list.
But it's not. You can have your own list.
I do have my own list. Yeah. And you're not invited to when that list is drawn up.
Oh,
do you have it or not then?
Yeah.
Do you have it or has it not been drawn up?
Number two is on his list is when he and Tom Heaton chatted about Iraq for a bit.
And at the top, it's the Definitely Maybe documentary. Let's move on. Well, it was war.
They were warring siblings.
Exactly. There's your civil war. Now, let's move on to Fulham versus Manchester City, Saturday at 12:30. Jim Campbell.
You've been assuring me that Fulham are going to do the job, do the business
to the point of where you're actually going to Greenwich
Cottage. Yeah.
I've roped him in.
I can't miss this.
Yeah.
Guarantee this, way of them not winning.
Yeah. This.
It's going to be like the bit where you can see Ralph Wiggum's heartbreak on telly.
This is where Man City lose the league.
Oh, yeah. Jim, it's annoying that Man City have won that because Jim choosed Fulham to win.
I tell you what, like I say, Arsenal, I've thought for a while that they're going to win it on goal difference. So all it needs is a draw.
But can I just put a bit of context in here?
Nope.
We all think it would be amazing. I genuinely think it would be an amazing twist in the title race, just for a neutral, if Fulham were to get something against Man City.
Yes. Sure.
The preparation for this game on Fulham's part appears to have been flying kites in training and the owner of the club appearing in wrestling shows. I don't think it's any... You won't find that in any textbook.
They're a multi-sport club.
They are.
They're opening a pool soon as well.
Here's hoping
there's polo happening.
Here's hoping one of the sports on Saturday is actually football. That's all I'm saying.
So the Fulham owner, Shahid Khan, he made a surprise appearance on All Elite Wrestling after his son, Tony Khan, was attacked in a stage fight. Now, the Tony Khan one was a fair few weeks ago. And he did look like a man who shouldn't have been anywhere near that ring. Not because he was obviously much smaller than them all, but it did look like they all just sort of took umbrage and went, we're not going to play along with this. We're just going to beat you up.
Yeah, okay.
So
it's a message to City, isn't it? If you come around our gaff and try and attack us, we will do you in.
And then Tony Khan was probably thinking, this didn't happen to Vince McMahon.
No, it didn't. And Vince McMahon's a big boy. But, I mean, Tony Khan is the president of All Elite Wrestling.
Is that another point? You get to have a go at the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe with the Fulham players flying kites, Shahid Khan thought to himself, well, in the spirit, I don't want all the players turning on me.
No.
So let's give them some kites, let's distract them, and harmony will reign. And it is raining, Jim, and I think that kind of squad harmony will ultimately be Manchester City's undoing.
That's delightful of you to guarantee that. Thank you, mate.
Not at all. Yeah. Well, both Arteta and Guardiola have been nominated for Premier League Manager of the Seasons. The other nominees are Unai Emery, Jurgen Klopp, and Andoni Iraola, which I'm glad about that because I mentioned a few weeks ago as I'm hitting the microphone in excitement that Iraola, I think, I don't think he'll win it, but I think he should be mentioned in there.
Yeah, he's done a very good job quickly.
It's a kind of situation where, and I don't mean this in a patronising way whatsoever, but as you rightly allude to there, Marcus, he's not realistically going to win it.
No.
But to be in the shortlist is a great fillip for him. It's like a great recognition of what he's achieved. I was just saying, Andy and I were talking about this earlier, the timing and the admin of these awards are so odd, chiefly because they have to be voted on in order to get the admin in place because it's difficult to get people to vote otherwise before the season before the season finishes. And I think
not only that, before the major bits happen, before you get to the denouement.
Yeah, and I think the player and the young player, which I think we're going to come on to, is slightly different to an extent. But the manager of the season award is almost rendered entirely pointless if you're going to do it now. Because actually, is anyone honestly going to say that if Arsenal win the Premier League this season, Mikel Arteta shouldn't be manager of the year?
But aren't we then rewarding results rather than process? So in a
but
way,
that's what football is, though, right?
But in a way, not entirely.
In this case, it is
not entirely because
you're not getting the award for process.
I think both.
No, but that's what it's about. They're rewarding them for their work.
Both have to be taken into account.
They're not rewarding. Congratulations, Pep Guardiola, on winning the league when you've got loads more money than everyone else to do it. I realise there's more to it than that, but it can't be right. We've got to wait to see who wins the league to reward this person. That can't be right.
But you've got to, you've got to respect the journey, but you've also got to get to the destination, Andy. And true. I think that you can't.
But it's all about expected destinations. Like you said about.
I agree with you.
Iraola, which is absolutely right. I would take great issue when you talk about expectations and, you know, what's realistic with Gary O'Neill not being on this list.
I agree. I'll say to you now, and I said it yesterday. Where's Gag?
Where is Gag? Yeah, to me,
12. He's been gagged.
To me, Arteta and Emery, it's a shootout between those two for manager of the season.
Very Spanish shootout.
If you would, oh my goodness, yeah.
So probably throw tomatoes at each other. I don't know what part of Spain that is. Seville, isn't it? Seville, I think.
Valencia.
That's
orange.
Valencia.
Tomatina.
Yeah, that's it. Tomatina, yeah.
Yeah, old Tomatina. Get him involved as well.
What about players, though?
Well, in terms of Premier League Player of the Season, the nominees are Phil Foden, Erling Haaland, Alexander Isak, Martin Odegaard, Cole Palmer, Declan Rice, Virgil van Dijk and Ollie Watkins.
Where's Pascal Gross?
No, he's not in there.
No, I know he's not. I'm just asking. Virgil van Dijk is, though, strangely.
João Pelini isn't.
Exactly. Well, there you go. Yeah. We could do this all day.
The line has to be somewhere, isn't it? Yeah. As you're probably saying, Marcus.
Yeah.
But I think Odegaard's got a good shout. Cole Palmer's been brilliant. So it's not a huge surprise.
Foden's obviously been excellent.
Let's
have
Declan Rice, eh, Andy?
I agree.
Declan Rice is definitely definitely within a shout for sure. And young players interesting as well because Anthony Gordon's not in there.
I'm surprised at that.
Like Kobbie Mainoo is.
Ah, come on.
Do they need to fix this on either number of Premier League appearances made or bring the age down or something like that? It feels like there are a lot of people in there who shouldn't be.
I know, really. James Milner's in there. who do you think
he's captain from? Really wants to be fair.
It feels like Foden and Saka have been in the Premier League too long for that.
So Phil Foden,
it feels like it should be something
like a breakout season.
Yeah, maybe you could rename it almost. It's like
breakthrough after
rookie of the year. Yeah, like they do in the US. Like,
yeah. That'd be so popular, wouldn't it? Imagine.
To put it in perspective, you're right to point out Phil Foden. Amazing season, brilliant player, all the rest of it. Still satisfies the age criteria for young player. Mm-hmm. He's played 266 Premier League games.
I think
it's crazy.
But isn't that, just something to praise him for, that he's managed to do that at
course,
that age?
Of course, but what he's doing is he's probably, through no fault of his own, the process is strangling younger players' chances of doing something. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I for me, William Saliba's got to be mentioned in these awards. But I understand. Yeah.
He's been amazing.
Yeah, look, all the names. I mean, even in the previous award, we didn't actually highlight Ollie Watkins other than just mentioning
him. What a great season.
What a great season. Yeah. And this is the thing. I think they should all get awards, personally.
Yeah, that's a good
idea.
That's
what I would do. Yeah.
On a weekly basis.
They all get an I Tried Hard sticker, is what I would do.
Which is what I'd like Southampton to get in the playoffs.
Well, let's go down to the Championship, where wins mean prizes. And Southampton travel to West Brom on Sunday for the first leg of their playoff semi-final. Russell Martin said ahead of the game, they trained like beasts in the week before the Leeds game. The players have to be ready to go again like beasts for another 2 weeks. Hopefully 3 weeks.
It's not really Churchillian, is it?
Not quite. It sort of tails off at the end there. I suppose they're in the mix. And I think the question is, for my money, certainly with regards to these Championship playoffs, is how are Leeds going to do? Are Leeds going to turn up like they did, in the last sort of game or two of the season and look knackered and a bit short of confidence and all the rest of it? Or are they going to go, do you know what? Will Ferrell's just become a minority investor in the club. That's given us the...
Famous sports cheerleader, of course. Exactly.
Worked very well for Tom Brady at Birmingham, of course.
Yeah, but did Tom Brady ever stand in the home end with a Lucha Libre mask on starting the chants?
No. I wouldn't have thought. No. It's not really his style.
Not his style.
No, not really. Not really. No.
He did a roast recently. He didn't like to do a Sunday roast.
Everyone came that would around. Be newsworthy.
Apparently David Beckham messaged him after saying if he was okay.
Oh, did he? That's nice. So
this is a bit much.
That's nice. No, it's nice because David Beckham does seem a very nice man.
He said, "Are you okay?" And he went, "Yeah." And he went, "Be honest."
They were just rinsing you on the telly. That must have been horrible.
But yeah, so Will Ferrell is
Nick Hewer there. He's,
he will doing be an impression of Jamie Redknapp.
Become a minority investor in Leeds, and we know this because an insider said it's true. Will Ferrell owns a share of Leeds United. You're only as good as your informants, aren't you?
Exactly. Good source. Good, great process, guys. Laura Koonsberg there.
A national newspaper printed that. Yeah. They printed that.
Anyway, that's about enough on Southampton, isn't it?
Dear. Yeah. No, but so who do you fancy for the playoffs then, Luke Moore?
Well, I wonder. I did see Leeds against QPR. I mentioned that a week or two ago, and the Leeds fans that were in the pub I was in were astonished at how bad they were.
I mean, they stink at one win in the last six.
They followed it up with another poor performance as well on the final day. I wonder how much of that, though, was just a big effort to get promoted automatically. It looked like it wasn't really going to happen, so they kind of dropped off a bit. Mm. You need to re-galvanise yourself.
They have finished with 90 points, which 90 points was enough for Fulham to win the championship.
That's right.
So they've been unlucky that Ipswich and Leicester are up there with the talents they've achieved. And
what Kieran McKenna's achieved with Ipswich is just extraordinary. Mm. It's absolutely extraordinary. I mean, it really is. I mean, if you look at the data on McKenna's Ipswich, uh-huh. I think they've picked up more points across the last two seasons than Guardiola's City.
Yeah.
Like, there's no one who's done anything what they've done.
And Leicester have got Vardy is young again, and Harry Winks has been pulling the strings, and other players. They're unlucky not to be automatically promoted.
Where we are with the playoffs and how they're structured, Leeds play Norwich now, and that's why Southampton are playing West Brom, because third place sixth and fourth place fifth. Leeds have been miles better than Norwich.
17 points.
Yeah.
They finish
above them. So you'd think they might, if they can raise themselves, get a nice way of building up towards the final. But I don't want to be disrespectful to Norwich, but Leeds have been better than Norwich this season. So you fancy them across two legs. The Southampton West Brom is, to be honest, they've got a very, very similar records overall. Very similar record in the last five or six games. To me, that's a coin flip, really. The only thing I would say is that West Brom have been much better defensively than Southampton, which, across these kind of things, can make a difference.
Points tallies, it looks like a Leeds-Southampton final, but, you know, in the Championship playoffs, it doesn't always end up like that. Mm. But it is nice, though, Leeds against Norwich, Farke versus Wagner.
The Wagner group versus the topics.
Yeah, that's what we kind of tune in for, isn't it?
Right, it's time for the Football Ramble, Acca with Betfair. The football season is approaching its exciting conclusion with Betfair, and if you're looking to get involved in all the action, then look no further. Betfair have made it faster and easier to build your Acca this football season, and you can celebrate this weekend with a completely free Acca or Bet Builder on the football. So today, we're building an Acca of four match odds 90 bets from across the Premier League. There's only one place to start.
Come on.
The aforementioned game in West London.
Come on.
On the banks of the beautiful River Thames at Craven Cottage.
Here we go.
Where Fulham take on Man City. Marcus Speller.
It's going to be a draw.
He's bottled it, everyone. He's absolutely bottled it.
There are three possible results. He's predicting one.
Pick Fulham to win. You either think they're going to win or you don't.
Well, no, I think they're going to draw. And I think that's all Arsenal need. As I say, I've had this feeling that Arsenal are going to win the league on goal difference. And as I said to you before, that actually, It's a sensible bet, because if Fulham draw, I'm right, and if Man City draw, I'm right.
Yeah, it's very good, actually. It's a very good point, actually. Thanks for making that clear.
And it would be a good point.
Fulham's
Man City.
That's like saying the guy who scored that amazing shot for after the Birmingham game.
Oh, the
game
Birmingham
the other
fan,
week, bottled it by not doing it in normal time.
No, I said to you before, and I say it again now, he should have beaten every man on the pitch. Fulham to draw against Man City. Okay, Andy, your pick, please.
Well, look, I don't want none of that smoke. I'm going for Everton to beat Sheffield United.
Mm. Yeah, with your record, I'm not surprised. Jim.
I'm going for Spurs to beat Burnley.
Again, absolutely pathetic.
Well, you know, they've not been great lately. You see, mine doesn't look that...
Also, we want to win!
Yeah, exactly. Right. But we want to win, so we've chosen Fulham to draw with Man City. Great. My pick is Newcastle to beat Brighton.
Well,
just as a reminder to everyone, my record is far better than everyone else in the
studio.
Because
you've gone conservative and safe.
Like when I picked the Cheltenham Gold Cup winner.
That was ages ago.
Oh, doesn't count then. Well, doesn't count then. So, in summary, Fulham to draw with Manchester City. Everton to beat Sheffield United at Goodison Park. Spurs to beat Burnley. And Newcastle to beat Brighton at St James's Park. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £140.56. If we win, all that money goes to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. We've already raised £820 this season. It'd be amazing if we get to 1,000, actually. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their Match Odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by stoppage time drama will not be affected, and that's the same for this Ramblacker we do every week as well. It's exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. 18 plus only. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
You know what time it is.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
Marcus, left-handed base.
It's great.
That's what, yeah, base. That's what slappy base.
Can I just say,
what time it is?
I was listening last week, and Marcus obviously won the belt from Vish.
That's right.
Vish absolutely Riddick Bowed himself rather than face me. when Riddick Bowe put his belt in the bin rather than play fight Lennox Lewis, that's what it felt like.
I mean, he was here last week and you weren't.
Exactly. I was in Munich, wasn't I?
Well, yeah.
Having a lovely old time.
Hiding abroad, but, but in a European bowl hole. Nigel Farage at the Ramble.
That's the Luke Nation.
But the good news is the Luke Nation can wrestle it back, the title back, to its rightful owner.
We'll probably change the name of this next week. Now we know that Matty Cash doesn't know what an apocalypse is.
Oh, yeah, if you could play that. Can we play that out?
Yeah. We'd
survive a zombie apocalypse.
A zombie apocalypse. What's that?
What hips, bitch.
It sounds a bit like that. And also, Matty like Cash that. Looks like, I said to you before, Matty Cash looks like the perfected prototype of Jack Grealish as well.
Yes.
Doesn't he?
Yes. That's true. That's
well,
true.
Either way, this isn't anything that complicated. As you know, it's a simple game of categories. Mm. If you go too slow, I'll pay Gary Neville's orgasm, which will leave you 7 seconds. Marcus took the lineal belt from Vish.
I did.
Last week, so
that's an by the way, joking aside, that's an amazing story because you've struggled
big time,
and you've stuck at it and you've won it back. Good
that's
for
right.
you.
Thanks, Luke. Appreciate
it. All right, there we go. So category one this week, very topical. Every winner of the Premier League Manager of the Season award since the award began in 93-94. There are 12 possible answers. Marcus will take us out the gate.
Pep Guardiola.
Oh, tough one.
Four times.
I think there's an outside chance that Alex Ferguson might have won it.
11 times.
I reckon Arsene Wenger might also have won it.
Oh, we're burning through these good ones, boys.
Three.
Surely Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, he got it.
Also three.
Yeah.
I'll go a lot in common, Wenger and Mourinho.
Yeah.
I'll go Jurgen Klopp.
Ooh.
Twice.
I will take a punt with Claudio Ranieri.
Oh, of course he has.
Yes.
Has to have done.
That's the one.
Kenny Dalglish.
Has to have.
Yeah.
Would have won it surely with Blackburn.
I mean, if he hadn't have done.
Sir Kenny.
I think this is either going to be a great shout or just the laughing stock of the day. I think Alan Pardew might have won it.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Well played.
So don't let anyone forget that.
Yep.
I will go for Roberto Mancini.
Oh, interesting.
About the process, Jim.
Yeah. Apparently so.
It's Jim's house. It's Marcus and me.
And on the spirit of that, and obviously I would say that, I'm struggling to which manager of the season it was, but I think Roy Hodgson won it.
Oh. So I just need to get one.
Yeah, you need to get one to take the point.
So Roy Hodgson definitely won one, but it wasn't that one. League managers, maybe. No,
Marcus's favourite manager of the season.
Filibustering for Luke Moore here.
I'm happy with that.
No, Andy,
hang on. All right, John Gregory. He had a great season with Villa one year.
Oh. You threw that away.
Marcus and Luke are back in. Marcus.
Antonio Conte.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is a fucking excellent shout. Well done.
Thanks.
That's brilliant.
Better than Roy Hodgson.
You could argue.
Mm.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final.
It's Roberto Di Matteo. I can't think of anything. Won the Champions League, I was thinking.
Yeah. Point for Marcus.
So we've got Carlo Ancelotti the next one.
So you could have had Tony Pulis.
Pulis!
George Burley. Oof. Well, the first English manager to win it, Harry Redknapp.
Wow. Harry Redknapp.
Harry Redknapp.
So, 1-0 to Marcus.
Something's wrong with Ancelotti.
Poor start.
A trophy or an award Ancelotti hasn't won.
That's weird, actually. He won the double at Chelsea.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Anyway.
Now, while we're on the subject of leadership, Category 2, former Manchester United club captains since 1965. Oof. 17 Oof. Answers. Luke first.
17 please. Of them, is there?
Yes.
Bloody hell.
Jesus, okay. I'll start with the aforementioned Wayne Rooney.
Very good.
I will go with Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Roy Keane.
Gary Neville.
Quick game's a good game.
Ryan Giggs.
You let yourself down
later
there,
on. I thought it was later.
You let yourself down there. You had a poor performance today.
Yeah. Brian Robson.
Got to be. Captain Marvel.
Good to get Robbo in there.
Yeah.
Nemanja Vidic.
Steve Bruce.
Brucey. Yes. Okay, Davis. Now we're struggling. I really don't want Marcus to win. I would have been fine with Jim winning.
Take back control, eh, Luke?
Yeah. I'm trying.
They had a lot of players, didn't they?
Just let me, but you won't.
Could be anyone.
Bobby Charlton.
Very good.
Pitch Michael.
That's a point to more.
I want to take that off you because I think I should announce it. You're undermining my authority. Oh.
Sorry, mate. Sorry. Can I say I've also got another one? I know for a fact Dennis Law was captain of the
match. Yeah, you could have had him. You could have had Antonio Valencia. You could have had Ashley Young. You could have had Eric Cantona. You could have had George Graham. You could have had Harry Maguire, Martin Buchan.
Maguire should have got
Michael Carrick or Willie Morgan.
I love the idea of Fergus has blatantly gone to Cantona. All right, you can be captain.
Do you know what? I nearly said Cantona and I thought, was it like a one-off thing kind of thing? But Schmeichel there, I realised that was a one-off thing rather than club captain.
Yeah, that's right. So it's 1-1-0. So, Jim, you need the point to get it going into extra time.
Oh, we don't want that.
Do your Real Madrid thing. So you'll be starting us, Jim, on this one. Can you name every Spanish manager to have managed in the Premier League, including interim coaches? There are 15.
Rafa Benitez.
Every Spanish manager that's managed in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Mikel Arteta.
I'm happy, so happy. Pep Guardiola.
Andoni Iraola.
Very good.
I will have... Who will I have?
Give him the fucking button.
Do you know what? I'm going to have Pepe Mel.
Oh, what?
Oh, it's a good one.
That's really excellent, one. Marcus.
Just can't forget him.
Kike Sanchez Flores.
Yeah.
Javi Gracia.
Good one.
Mm-hmm. Why am I struggling with this?
How many were there in total, by the way?
15.
Blimey.
Julian Lopetegui.
Good.
Oh, very good.
Luke's really glad you said that, so he didn't have to.
Oh. Is it me now?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. The only one I've got, and I've got a fucking horrible feeling he's Portuguese, is the guy who managed Southampton for a while, Ruben Selles.
Very good.
Played.
He's Spanish.
Very good, yes.
I think Southampton are going to let me down here. Because I think he's Argentinian, but I can't think of anyone else. Maurizio Pellegrini?
He is.
He's Argentinian, isn't he?
This is one of those ones where I'm going to pull my hair out. I don't think anybody's said him yet, but if they have, Unai Emery?
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus. Very good.
I just thought of another one as well. Easier when you're out.
It is, yeah.
It's Torres!
Benitez, but I think he's been said, hasn't he?
You know what that means?
Damn!
Marcus,
well played, mate.
There we are.
Congratulations!
Unai Emery.
Yeah. Juan de Ramos was the one I thought of.
Oh!
Too late.
Yeah. You could have had that. You could have had Aitor Carranca. You could have had Bruno. Bruno Sautor, who, of course, was in charge of Chelsea 4 days.
God. After, is he going to get that?
After Graham Potter got the
Pepe Mel, baby.
Why no Roberto Martinez?
Yeah, I said
him earlier in the show.
And you could have had Cisco, who's at Watford.
There's always an obvious one. And Roberto Martinez.
No, there's always a Watford one.
There's always a Watford one.
There were three Watford ones there, weren't there?
Yeah. So congratulations, Spells.
Well done, the belt stays
right
where it belongs,
for
everybody.
Now.
Lovely old job. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Join myself, Luke and Jim tomorrow for the mailbag where we're answering your questions. It's going to be a belter. Do follow us on X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble, and follow us on Spotify. Now, Luke Moore. We're at the end of the show, and I'd just like to say to you, oh, baby, I love your way, every day, I want to tell you I love your way,
every day,
every day.
I
was going to do the next bit.
No, I think I've had enough. Get your keys out.
I put them in while that was going on, and we're away. Those
who are
keen,
you, don't put it in without telling me.
You should know. And already people are belting off towards the weekend.
They
They're
are.
Just specs They're on the
over
distance.
The hill. Yeah. They are.
Oh, there we are, everybody. Thanks for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Luke Moore.
You are much happier when you've won the Jack's Encyclopedia.
Don't be like
show.
That. Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy Brassel.
No, thank you from Pitbull, who I believe is unsubscribed.
Oh, yeah. He's been let down this week as well.
He'll be all right. Don't you worry about that. Have a good one.
You let yourself down on the fucking show, on the
game. On the show.
That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. I meant the game. Shit.
Sorry, Jim. All right.
That's not what I meant.
Yeah.
Wow. The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.